day by day. We worship you. And we thank you, Lord, for the relevance of truth in every aspect of our lives. We honor you, gracious Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you all in the name of the Lord. Welcome to the house of the Lord this wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made for us to rejoice and be glad. You may be seated. Thank you so very much, Sister Lindsay. We are studying the Word of God together, and we are in the amazing book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. I believe we stopped somewhere around verse 8 the last time. So we'll take it from there. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, beginning to read from the 8th verse. It says here, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When we talked about this passage the last time, we talked about the fact that God in Christ Jesus led those who were held in bondage, held in captivity. He released them from the captivity where they were captured and imprisoned, limited. He led them out of that, and he gave gifts. He gave gifts, therefore, listen to this, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So if he led captivity captive and give gifts, he gave gifts unto men that are free, but free in him. Amen? Free in him. Now, we move from one captivity where there is no freedom to a place, as we shared, where we are captivated by the goodness and the love of God. That's this new captivity. It's a captivity of being captured by the love of God, that your heart is captured with admiration for the goodness of God towards you as an individual. Praise the Lord. So he led captivity captive. After he ascended, let's note that, when he ascended up on high. When he ascended up on high means that he was no longer in the state of hell. Remember, he descended even to hell. It means that this was the point where he had, number two, taken the power of authority from the devil. He sees the keys. Three, he has ascended and he has sprinkled his precious blood on the mercy seat. Four, he has made it possible for us to rise with him and to sit with him in those same heavenly places. So, what is this? The giftings of God become effective as we recognize ourselves in him. recognize that we are forgiven. Recognize that the price for sin has been paid for. Recognize that we are freed from the controlling influence of Satan and his cohorts. Until you recognize that you are a free person in Christ, fully loved by God, recognize the fact that you are now far above principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, you will never truly walk in freedom. And you will never truly walk in the empowerment that God has available. Our capacity to be effective is instituted and generated by the very fact that we know that we are free people, but our freedom is in being captivated by Him. We cannot be in two prisons. You cannot be captured by God and be captured by the devil at the same time. If you are with Him, then you are in His bubble. And that bubble is a bubble of God's goodness and God's favor. And that's what we must recognize about ourselves, that something is dramatically changed, and I belong to God. Amen? He gave gifts unto men. In the book of Psalms, where this particular verse comes from, it adds this statement, even to the rebellious. So the rebellious being us who rebelled against God's purposes. But now we are no longer rebellious, because now we belong to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended? First into the lower parts of the earth. He first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. Far above all heavens. That He might fill all things. I wonder if there's anything missing from all. That He might fill all things. Now, that is an interesting aspect. That He might fill. I want you to notice that word, might. It didn't say that He fills all things, but that He might fill all things. In other words, there is still the aspect of giving Him access. Whatever it is that needs to be done, He has finished. And so if there is willingness in me to be filled, He comes and fills me. I now have access to be filled. He covered the whole gamut from hell to the highest heaven so that He can do whatever it is that He needs to do with anyone and everyone that is willing to turn their lives around to Him and say, God, I give You my life. I was once rebellious, but now I want to be captured by Your love. This day I want to be Your slave. Remember verse 1, Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Paul says, I therefore the prisoner. Prisoners are captured. Paul says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And he uses that as a mark of honor. I belong to God. Paul or Peter will say, I'm a doulos. I'm a slave. I am God's slave. I voluntarily put myself in Your hands and I say, You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Whatever it is you want, that's what I'm going to do. Amen? So that's a powerful place. It's a place of willing surrender. I am willingly surrendering myself to God. That's why might be filled. God is not forcing anybody to do the right thing. He's just saying, I have more than enough love for you. And if you surrender and you let me, I am at the door of your heart knocking. If any man opens, I will come in and sup with him. That's in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. God saying, I am at the door. I'm knocking. Why does he need to knock? Why doesn't he just break down the door and come in? No, because God will never force himself on anyone, not on this side of heaven. He will tell you, like he said to the saints in the Old Testament, I place before you life and death. Choose life. It's life and death before you, but I tell you what to do. Choose this one. You win with this hand. There's a bad hand, there's a good hand. Choose a good hand. It's a decision that you and I make on a daily basis. Have you ever seen the picture of the painting of the Lord, you know, at the door knocking? If you've seen it, this is what you'll see. You'll see that there's no knob on the outside of that door, which means that the person on the other side of that door needs to open that door. If you open it, he will come in. If you don't open it, he will not come in. So the question that you and I need to ask ourselves tonight is, am I willing to let him come in? He's not going to sit on the throne of your heart if you don't say, come, be the King of Kings inside of me. Whatever it is you want to do, it's your business. That's why, as a pastor, I cannot make anybody do anything. What I can do is tell you what the truth is. And then now you have options. You know what the right thing to do? Yes? And then you do it. You know the right thing to do, but choose to do the wrong thing? That's your business. It's a matter of choice. Whatever it is that we want to do. He still says, I am at the door. Amen? God is at the door. I am at the door. So now what are you going to do? Recognizing that he is at the door. Will you let him in? Because he wants to come and dine with you. The King of Kings is coming to your house. My house compared to his house is nothing. I'm reminded about a meeting that my spiritual father, bless his eternal soul. We had in Nigeria. Now there are lots of mega churches in Nigeria. Beautiful places. But I had one of my sons, and his church is in the his church is like in a skid row. It's not the place that you take Papa to. But I have a connection with my spiritual father. This young man, his church was maybe about 100 people or so when I first, when I was invited to come to his church. I never met him before, and but invited me to come, and I went and ministered there. The power of God was so strong. They had to carry me out of that place. Basically, you know, the surge of power pouring out was so tremendous that I was weak physically. The power of God was so strong. Within 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks later, that church had grown from 100 to over 1,000 within 3 weeks. That was the amount of power that was released inside that church. So now he's built, you know, his church was just made out of taps. You know, he had wood, you know, and then he had different taps, tarpaulin, on the side when I first went there. But now he had an actual building. And so... Papa said, I'll come. I'll go to that church. I'll go to that church. People heard about it and said, what? Who's going where? But till this day, those that went to that particular church still remember God did something there. Why do I tell you that story? Papa, who could have been in any kind of mega work, goes to the skid row, so to speak, an impoverished place, and pours the anointing of God on his life to impact lives in there. It's not comparable, but imagine the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords leaves the glory of heaven and first of all comes to the earth. He that was rich became poor that we may become rich. Imagine that same one is the one that is coming to your house. You. And is knocking at your door. And you say, I can't let him in. My house is so dirty. He knows already. He knows your house is dirty. He knows that you don't qualify for him to come. But he made an executive decision to come to you. You will be so proud, so arrogant, and so foolish not to open that door and say, come. You mean you want to eat my hot dogs when you can afford steaks? You won't come eat hot dogs with me? Yeah, I just want to hang around with you. I want to know where your house is. I was talking to one of my sons recently. I said, I've not been to your house yet. We've got to change that. I've not been to your house yet. I don't know where your house is. I know what area. He said, well, we invited you and Mama to come, but you couldn't make it because you were busy. I said, I don't even remember that now. But, got to change that. Well, I'm not saying I'm going to go to everybody's house. But it is always an honor when a great one comes in your direction and says, I want to fellowship with you. It is dishonorable not to give access to God, the God of the universe. When the God of the universe wants to relate with you as an individual, that is the height of pride and arrogance. Again, Revelation 3:20, he says, I am. He says, behold, look at this now, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice, that's interesting. He says, I knock. And then he says, if any man hear my voice. I wonder why he didn't say, if any man hear my knock. Because the way God knocks is by his speaking. He says, my sheep hear my voice. So if you know him, you hear his voice. He says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now that is relational. I'm making the first move. I'm coming to your house. You open the door, we'll be friends. We'll chow down together. We'll tell stories together. I will open myself up to you and reveal things to you that you don't know. That's exciting. That God wants to relate with us. Who am I? God wants to relate with me. Yep. He wants to do so. Now, back to Ephesians 4. He says this to us, that he might fill all things. And he's saying to me, you want me to feel you? I'm ready. I love you enough to feel you. Love is a decision. But the ball is on your court. One thing I've learned through the years, as a believer, as a pastor, as a person, is that the problem really many times is not just a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of obedience. Because people can come to church, hear the word of God that says, don't speak bad words. Don't curse. Don't do this, don't do that, and say, amen. And they see all the reasons why they should not. But by the time they get out of the church building into their car, by the time they reach the first set of lights, they've started swearing at each other. They just came out of church. Was it because they were ignorant? No. because they were disobedient to the word. Why do people get divorced? Because they don't know. Why do people commit adultery? Because they didn't know. Why do people in church fornicate? Because they didn't know. Why do people live a life of lies? Because they didn't know. Why do people not honor God with their giving? Because they didn't know. No, that's not it. It's because they won't. They're disobedient. You know the truth, and you don't follow through with it. They know to pray. They know to read the word of God. They know to worship God. They know to rejoice in the Lord. But they decide to take on the spirit of depression. A lot of things that happen in our lives are based on the choices we elect to make. That may be a hard word to hear, but it's absolutely the truth. One of the things I decided in my walk with the Lord not to say or give access to is the statement, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. It's the devil. No, it's you. Stop that excuse. It's you. You made a decision. Own it and repent. Own it and repent. Well, I was afraid, and that's why I lied. Okay. All right. How do we fix that? Now we can fix that. But if you don't make this shift to recognize that you have the ability to make choices in the freedom that you have in God, because He's captured your heart and He has come to give you life and is not willing that anyone perish but that all come to repentance, you will stay defeated. And that's not what God wants for us. God wants us to be victorious. That means part of your victory is acknowledging that you messed up. That's part of it. I messed up. I was weak and I messed up. I need God's grace and God's mercy to help me. That is strength. Hiding only causes you to begin to point fingers at somebody else. It is the woman you gave to me. That's you even go to the point of accusing God. God, why did you, if you knew the devil was going to tempt me, why did you create the devil? Ay, 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 ay. God, it's your fault. Everything is God's fault. You know what God said? Jesus said, the one who gave me up to you, he has the greater sin. In other words, God was taking ownership and saying, okay, you want to blame me? That's my fault. That's why you're a sinner. I take the blame. But now I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to refuel you and empower you so that you can make the right choices henceforth. That's what grace is all about, you know. God giving me grace so that I can be an overcomer. God first took the blame and paid the price for my sin, because smart Alex like you and I want to blame God. Well, why did you create the devil? why this and why that and why this and why that. And he says, okay, I take the blame. But now that I've taken the blame, I give you ability to overcome. And by the way, so that you know that you always had the power, I'm going to strip myself of my godness and be exactly the way the first Adam was. And I will show you that you had more than enough to defeat the devil day one. And so he stripped himself of his godness and became Adam. And with just that, as a man, he did not only defeat the devil in the temptations, he defeated the devil by going to hell and whooping the devil right there in hell. Because he's put more than enough inside of us. And so he fills all things again with his godness, with his amazing power, and says, you can do everything, anything you set your mind to do. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles. An apostle is a man or woman that has had a very specific encounter with the Lord and has been empowered with a particular message to bring to God's people, a foundational message. An apostle is not meant to be a person that is called to be body buddies with you. Not that he is not going to be that. But when he or she is operating in that grace, it's a no-nonsense place. Because he is dealing with very foundational things. An apostle is a man or woman that God has delegated supernaturally to accomplish particular assignments. An apostle lays foundations. An apostle goes into territories and begin to shatter the strongholds over that particular territory, so that the message of the kingdom can go forth with great power. He is one that has been chosen by God. Not that we are not all chosen, but he's chosen to lay down structure. So it's a supernatural grace, but it's also a grace that establishes the foundations necessary for the building of the body. And so the Lord, speaking through Paul, tells us about the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The apostolic grace is the highest level of the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Now, the apostle operates in all of the gifts. An apostle is a prophet. An apostle is an evangelist. An apostle is a pastor. An apostle is a teacher. Notice apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They are like your five fingers. And the apostle is the thumb. And as a thumb, it touches the prophet. It touches the evangelist. It touches the pastors. It touches the teacher. It is the only finger that can touch all. Amen? Praise the Lord. And there doesn't have to be any contortions to make it happen. Because I'm sure that there might be somebody somewhere in the world that can dislocate their fingers, you know, so that they can touch other fingers. Oh, Pastor, I can do that, I can do that. No contortions. It's easy. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's all easy. The prophet operates in the prophetic word. Now, all these giftings, when you start talking about the role of the prophet, what we need to understand about that is this, that not everybody who prophesies is a prophet. And in the grace of prophecy, there are people who have personal words. Thank you. There are people who have personal words or prophesy and will give you a personal word. And there are people that God has raised up as prophets that are not in the personal word business, so to speak, but they will speak to nations. Now, the prophets in the Old Testament that we see in the Old Testament were primarily prophetic voices that spoke to the nation. So if something is happening, you speak to that leadership because you have a prophetic word to them. Now, this personal, public levels of the prophetic word are at particular points, but there is also the prophetic word that comes to the body, where the body is going through a particular situation and a prophetic voice comes backing the apostolic grace to strengthen the body. Thus saith the Lord. This is what's going to happen, and this is what you need to do, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. That prophetic voice brings in that particular aspect. So the prophet is a speaker or a declarer of the word of the Lord and is an oracle of God. So he is speaking on behalf of God concerning particular situations. Amen? That is the prophetic anointing. Doesn't necessarily have to be so and so, this is what is happening. It might be a general word, and you grab it. Somebody was saying to me the other day, said, Apostle, you gave a prophetic word. You said in this particular word that somebody who is close to you that you think is supportive has been, you know, speaking against you at your workplace, trying to make sure that you get fired, but God is going to turn that situation around and turn it against the individual who is trying to sabotage your place in your company. He said, that same week, I was at my work, and all of a sudden, my boss started railing on the guy that I thought was my friend, exposing him and all that he said about me to make sure that I get fired. He said, my jaw just dropped, and I'm looking and staring at this. This is what apostles just prophesied about. And I'm living it right here, right now. He just told us this on Sunday. And look at it, right here. The prophetic voice covers a lot of things. Amen? So, get the point. The prophet deals with national issues. It could be a word, a personal word for a particular individual, but the prophetic word also helps to build the church. Just like the apostle is a foundation, this is that particular block that is resting on that foundation and is part of the foundation. We need the prophetic voice in the church, globally and locally. Amen? It's a particular gifting that operates in the church. And then it says, and some are evangelists. Evangelists. An evangelist is one who preaches the gospel. The apostle does. The prophet does. The evangelist does. Huh. So all three giftings so far are speaking gifts. The apostle is speaking, the prophet is speaking, the evangelist is speaking. And what is the role of this evangelist? He takes the word of God and proclaims it, just like the prophet does. But an evangelist is not, an evangelist is disruptive. An evangelist comes and he blows everything up. because sometimes you got to tear down before you start building. So the evangelist comes and he is blowing things up, shaking everything. He's fiery, he's not calm, he's just bang. All cylinders going, all at the same time, he's burning a lot of energy. And he's doing his thing. Signs, wonders, miracles are happening. Just as it also happens with the prophet and the apostle. Things are happening. But this is a guy who shakes things. Because sometimes you need to be shaken. We need to be shaken. You know, sometimes we need a 2x4 to get our brains working right. Bang, the evangelist comes and smacks people left, right, and center. And all of a sudden, wakes you up. That's your role. An evangelist is there to wake you up, get you fired up in the church, outside the church. But his role is to preach the gospel. An evangelist will not hold back from telling you about heaven and hell. He's there to just roar in your face. That's his role. And the Lord Jesus Christ operated as that. Remember when he called some people brood of vipers, whitewashed walls? Yeah, that's the evangelist operated. He has a finger that's just pointing and will convict And that's when we need the pastor. The pastor has to come here, not the teacher, the pastor. Because when the evangelist is finished with you, you need a pastor to hug you. Oh, baby, it's okay. It's okay. You need a pastor to calm things down a little bit. Hallelujah. We need pastors. Praise the Lord. We definitely need pastors because we cannot fight without pastors. A church without pastors, a pastoral grace on their life becomes a very uncaring. You don't want an evangelist to be your pastor. Believe me. You don't want that. We really don't want that. Because all the sheep will be dead. Kill everything. But you need him. You need the evangelist. But then you need the pastor to function and just calm things down and help things function together and operate together. And then you need a teacher. Because when the evangelist is finished with you and the pastor comes and calms things down, the teacher raises the temperature back. He brings the balance into it and shows you. Remember what the evangelist said? This is how it works. And this is how this works. And this is how that works. And so you need that grace. The teacher teaches you how it works. The evangelist just picks one verse in the Bible and goes at you. The teacher comes and takes that one verse and begins to connect all the dots. Crosses the T's, dots the I's, and makes everything, oh, that's how it works. That's the role of the teacher. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, why do we need all these gifts? We'll wrap up with this. It says it's for the perfecting of the saints. It's for the perfecting of the saints. Now, that's an interesting word, the perfecting of the saints, because that word is a word that talks about the maturing of the church. God doesn't want us to be babies. He wants us to grow up, be mature individuals. That word, perfecting, also means to furnish. The furnishing aspect is a decorative aspect. It's a place of comfort. Like we come to this building right now, there are chairs. That's part of the furniture. And when you have chairs, you get to sit. But it's also, that word means equipping. So you are given tools. Tools to do what you need done. We are completed. This is for the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints, the tooling or equipping of the saints for the work of the what? Ministry. For the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. Ah. Okay, the apostle is the minister. The prophet is the minister. The evangelist is the minister. The pastor is the minister. The teacher is the minister. Wrong. You are the minister. the one that is being equipped so that they can do the work of the ministry, the ministry of service. You see, we have it backwards. We think of the minister as that person there, me standing here. Oh, that's the minister of the church. No, that's the edifier. That's the one that God is using to equip so that the people do the ministry. They go and they do the ministry. Now, what is the role of this man, this apostle, this prophet, this evangelist, this pastor, this teacher? He is or she is a demonstrator or one who cares for the sheep. Just like shepherds don't give birth to sheep. Have you ever seen a shepherd give birth to sheep before? That would be a very nice thing, right? What do we call the man who is ministering up here? He's a shepherd, right? Okay, that should give us a clue right away. It's not his responsibility to go bring in the souls. His responsibility is to make sure that the sheep are well fed, taken care of, well groomed, ministered to, encouraged, empowered, so that they do what they do. Give birth to sheep. So if the church is not growing, it's not the pastor, it's not the teacher, it's not the evangelist, it's not the apostle, it's not the prophet, it's the sheep. The sheep not doing their thing. And the role of the ministry is to make sure that we have what we need to do what we got to do, to make sure that the flock continues to grow. That is the role. And when we get it right and recognize, God, you've captured my heart, and you said that I should be fruitful, I received this grace, this anointing. I have been equipped. I was greatly equipped. When I went to church today, I received your word, your eternal word, and my life is fully and truly impacted. Lord, help me as your sheep to birth other sheep. So the engineer sheep needs to give birth to other engineer sheep. Wherever your point of influence is, you need to bring those people, the people at your workplace, the people at your school, the people that you do business with, the people that you meet in the grocery store. Wherever your point of reference is, you need to be active as sheep, having been fed, not hiding what you've got, but rather bringing it as a minister to minister it to somebody else for the work of the what? The ministry. What is ministry? What does that word mean? Ministry. Service. That's basic understanding. It means to be a servant for the work of the service, for the work of the servant, the one who's been captured by God. So when I understand that I am a servant of the living God, then I know that whatever it is that I'm called to do, I'm supposed to do as unto the Lord. And that's what I'm going to be giving an account of. Diakoneia is that word. Diakoneia. In that word, koneia, I'm sure you hear the word koinonia. And koinonia means fellowship. So this is a group of people that are in service together and are linked together, and that's where we're going to come to in just a moment. We are linked together towards a common purpose, and our purpose is to win souls. That's our assignment. That's it. That's it. Whatever it is that we're doing, it's to win souls. While you're leading in prison worship, it is to win souls. While the word of God is being preached, it is to win souls. While the word of we are praying the word, it is to win souls. Whatever it is that we're doing, it's all about winning souls. Because we are continuing what Jesus came to do. What did Jesus come to do? To win souls, save lives. That's why he's Savior. Is that not so? And if we are his servants, then we are cooperating with him towards that same end, that same goal, to see lives changed. And anything that will cause lives not to be changed, we want to remove out of the way. Anything. Okay, this thing that we're about to do, will it cause us to bring more people to God, or is that going to be a distraction? If it's going to be a distraction, out. Whatever is going to make it possible for more lives to be changed, that's what we need to do. That's what diakonia is. And then secondly, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we are not just outward trying to get people to come in. We are here also for the building up of the body. Now, how do we build up the body? This building, how is it done? It is one brick upon the other. And the role of those fivefold ministries is to make sure that that which is being brought in is ordered aright. That there's no confusion, but that things are pulled together. There might be a temporary time of confusion and things are totally out of place, but it is all part of the situation of building. Normally, I will not allow for this mess to be here. This is not the right situation. It's supposed to be church. We don't need to be having all kinds of tools and wood pieces and all of that. And it's just a mess. But this mess is a mess that is here because something is being built. And when you're building, there is always some kind of messy stuff going on. And guess what? A clean barn means there are no animals in there. The church is not supposed to be spick and span, clean. Everything is perfect. No. If it is, you know, just like hospitals have sick people in there, that's how the church is. It's God's healing spot. So there are people going to come in sick, but we expect them to go out healed. Praise the Lord. They come in messed up, but they leave with a message. Do you see that? I like that. Mess message. It's about change. And as we receive the word of God, may we be built up. God wants us built up. God wants us strong. God wants us to be an edifice. And God wants us to build each other up by the truth of his everlasting word. We will stop there tonight. And we'll continue from here next week. Praise the Lord. But before we meet together next week, before I pray, I would like to announce to us that we have a special meeting coming up in about 9 days from now, on the 22nd through the 24th, called Glory Fest. Amen. This is going to be a powerful, powerful conference. And today I got the word from the Lord about the conference that's going to be happening in December and what dates. Every conference is a conference that God calls, and He tells me what its target is, what the purpose for it is. So, and as I look at it, God has been telling a story, and He is working on something. He's pulling every ingredient together, and this year, 2021, this year that God says is the year of the establishment of His covenant, is bringing us into a realm of partnership with Him. We've already started that, partnering with God. I'm excited about what God has been doing this year, but I am in awe of what God is going to do henceforth. As we step into 2022, it's going to be extraordinary, and I believe God is at that door knocking, and He's saying, would you let me come in? Because I want to feel everything through and through with myself. Amen? So Glory Fest is the next one that's coming up. And if you may, just roll the video, and then we'll honor God with our giving, and then pray prayer of closing. Praise the Lord. Amen. We look forward to having this mighty man of God. Many years ago, I guess it was about 20 plus years back, I was invited to speak in San Diego at the Morris Arroyo World Evangelism Conference, some kind of a prayer conference it was. And the week before I got there, this mighty man of God was speaking there. I'd never heard of him before, but he was a great blessing. And then the next week, I got to speak and taught the word of God. And shortly after that, we became very fast friends. Even though we don't talk all the time, but when we get to talk and when we get to see each other, it's like, forget everybody else. It's us. Great family, great family. Great, great, great family. Anointed man of God, reaching the world powerfully. He has a very large ministry around the world. When I say large, I mean large. And it's a great honor and privilege to have Dr. Christian Hafush with us. I'm excited about it. Get yourself ready for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's been here once, but didn't finish at that time. And I believe God wants to do something this time around as he wraps up what he started some 15 plus years ago. Well, praise the Lord. Father, we are thankful for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your anointing. We thank you, Lord, O God, for your word that is alive in us, with us, and is working through us. Thank you, Lord, O God, for what we have received of your spirit today. I know, Lord, O God, there's so much more that you want to say. And Lord, O God, we position ourselves to receive the much more. And we thank you, Lord, O God, that your hand is resting upon us for good. And Lord, O God, that you are elevating us, you're building us up by your spirit. Thank you, Lord, O God, for a new day, for a new experience, for your grace, which is sufficient, for the power that's made available to us by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, O God, that this anointing is shattering every stronghold and setting captives free. Let that which you have ordained to accomplish through your church be accomplished in us, through us, by us, and for us. In Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we call it so done. And all of God's put together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. At this time, if you've not honored God yet with your giving, I encourage you to do so. If you need an envelope, just raise your hand and you'll be given one. Okay. We do have somebody way out there in the back that needs an envelope. Over. No? Oh, okay. All right. Somebody here. Okay, just come and honor God with your giving. We are in the midst of our project right now, and if you have a commitment towards that end that you've not alerted me to, you just bring an envelope and show me what it is that you're giving towards that. If you're believing God for that amount, I will join in agreement with you, believing God with you to bring that result to pass for you. And if you're honoring God with your particular commitment, you can just place it in my hand and I'll be in agreement with you that the blessings that the Father has for you will be released into your life. Amen? Praise God. Let's come quickly. Let's honor God with our giving. And same holds true for those that are online today. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Let God's hand rest upon you. And may you know true victory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. See you on Friday.